Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company.
A very good evening to you and welcome to Friday Sport Preview once again on Manx Radio. Rob Pritchard here as ever. I hope you've had a wonderful week so far. Coming up tonight, as the football season nears its end, we're counting down to tonight's huge Hospital Cup final at the Bowl, whilst FC Isle of Man are targeting Cup glory tomorrow in their final game of their extraordinary first campaign. As TT 2022 inches ever closer, we hear from a duo who are looking to make their mark in these sidecar competitions this year. And as volleyball on Ireland grows in popularity, the sport is marking another important step with its first of its kind event on Manx shores. That is all to come this evening. Starting out with football tonight, and there is a huge game under the floodlights at the Bowl this evening. It is the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup final taking place in just under an hour's time. And who better to take us through this than Tony Meppham? He is at the Bowl as well himself. Hopefully we can now cross live to him over at the Bowl. Tony, a very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Rob, and yes, the wet weather has disappeared, so it's going to help us a little bit, because when that downpour came, I thought to myself, here we go, but we are on a 3G Astro pitch all weather, so there'll be no problems, and both sets of players have just made their way onto the pitch to do their warm-up, so hopefully a cracking game in store this evening, and then we've got another one this afternoon, tomorrow afternoon, sorry.
Absolutely. Well, before we get into the specifics of tonight, let's just have a quick look back on earlier this week and a couple more congratulations in order. Let's have a look at Division 2. St John's United, they have been crowned champions of the division, and it was a jubilation for them, but heartbreak for their opponents on Tuesday night, wasn't it?
Well, it was, and it's never nice that way, but Foxdale, the important thing about it for them was it was in their own hands, and unfortunately, okay, it finished up 3-3, but it wasn't the points that Foxdale wanted. They needed to win, and Oncombe were down watching, because they knew that if Foxdale didn't get that win, that they were going to be the promoted side alongside St John's. And fair play to Foxdale. They gave everything. They had two or three really good chances in the second half, and I thought their leading goal scorer, Jay Chatwood, was going to be the one that was going to get that winning goal for them, but the keeper saved it. And unfortunately for them, it's another year in Division 2, as where Onchan joins St John's, and they will play in the Canada Life Premier League next season.
Absolutely, and from a Foxdale perspective, you just touched on it a bit there. Obviously, it's horrible to fall at the last hurdle like that, no matter who you are, but what positives can they take? You know, they've come so close, but just not to be this time around. Surely there are plenty of positives going into next season to build on.
Well, definitely, and they've still got another game tomorrow afternoon, because the Paul Henry Gold Cup semi-finals are on tomorrow, and they've got a good opportunity in that one to see if they can get some silverware this season. But they're an experienced team. There's one or two young players coming through for them now, which bodes well for the future. But, you know, St John's, when you looked at it at the start of this campaign, you thought they're going to be the team to beat, and that's the way it's gone. And for Onchan, they've just filtered some of the quality young players that they've got coming through into that first team. People like Tom Creer, Ashton Canson and others. And that's been sort of the difference, I think. Their goals have been all important for them. But I think Anthony Corkle will be happy enough the way things have gone, the manager of Foxdale. And he'll be hoping next season that they can go that next step further and get promoted in with the big boys.
Absolutely. And another congratulations this week to Peel. They were confirmed as winners of the Masters League Championship.
Yeah, a bit of a story for this one there, Rob, because I was there last night, and Douglas Royal were just behind them, but they had one more game to play. But Peel needed to get one point out of last night's game, and Onchan are a good side, so they knew it was going to be tough for them. And Onchan took the lead, I think it was about 20 minutes into the first half, and then we had to wait a minute from the end of the game, Rob, for Anthony Corkle, the manager of Foxdale. He's dual registered to Peel to play Masters, and he got that all-important goal, which meant that they got a point, and they won the championship, the Masters League, and well done to them. They won it last year, and this year they've had one or two sort of injuries towards the end, Daniel Lace one of them, but they got that all-important point, and we wait for the Masters final now, FA Cup final, on Sunday here at the Bowl. And that's Colby against Douglas Royal.
Absolutely. Well, let's take a look now at tonight, Corinthians versus Rushden United. It's a different outlook, I think, for both sides compared to, let's say, 12 months ago. But looking at this evening, what are you expecting is going to be in store?
Well, it's not the sort of Corinthians and Rushden side you expect, because a lot of the players have been playing FC Isle of Man for both camps, and a lot of them are playing for FC Isle of Man tomorrow. So it's one of those that they've just had to pick what players have done the job really for them this season, because Rushden at the moment second in the league, just behind Champions Ayr. Geordies have still got an opportunity on Tuesday night, if they can beat them, to go second, but they've got to score quite a few goals. And then Corinthians have finished fourth. So it's been all round a reasonable season for both teams. It's given the opportunity to bring younger players in. And tonight, one or two sort of key players. I'm looking at Alex Maitland for FC Isle of Man, comes in and plays for Rushden tonight. But I've got the team news here for Rushden, and Adam Kinvig's in goal. Adam Kinley's number two, Alex Maitland three, Ashley Blake four, Scott Mason, who's one of the promising young players who's come through, is five, Cameron Dudley six, Jack Thompson is seven, Jake Kelly is eight, Jack Snidel wears the number nine, Aaron Hawley is number 10, and Jamie Johnson, who's a really good player just coming back from injury, will wear the number 11, and the subs bench is strong too. Stevie Riding, Chris Shimmin, Brian Crellin, Ryan Crawley and Jordan Watterson. As we're with the Corinthians, well, they've lost both goalkeepers because Matthew Quirk won't be available, and Adam Killier's away, so that's caused a few problems. So in comes the Masters manager, which is Ian Tuck. But then we've got Carl Presley, Darren Kane, Stuart Smith, Ryan Hughes is only 16 years of age. Callum Campbell, who played really well against Ayr United last week, is in midfield alongside Tom Callister. Sammy Gelling has hung up his boxing gloves for tonight and puts his football boots on. He'll play. Joe Middleton, who's in good form midweek. And then we've got Adam McCulloch and Jimmy Lees. And the substitutes for Corinthians are Joe Marquez, Jake Hicks. We've got Connor Bell, Callum Taylor and Ryan Burns, who also is an FC Isle of Man player. Now, Ryan's come in purely because Ryan, Rob, is a pretty good goalkeeper. So if there's a bit of a problem with Ian, because, you know, he's a Masters player. I won't say what age he is, but you've got to be over 35 to play in Masters. So Ryan Burns is there just for a bit of cover if you have a problem with that number one jersey.
Absolutely. Well, we've got around 2 minutes here before we leave you to it for this evening. I am going to put you on the spot this time. Do you have a prediction in terms of scoreline? And if you do, why would that be?
I think at the moment I'm just going to sort of edge it towards Rushden. But I've been sort of surprised how good the young players for Corinthians, when you look at you know, the 16-year-olds who have come in, Ryan Hughes and others, have played really well. And Darren Kane, not the tallest of players, Rob, but plays really well at that centre-back role that Chrissy Cannell made his position. So, you know, at the moment, I just think maybe Rushden have got a little bit more experience. I look at Jamie Johnston up there. I'm surprised Ryan Crawley's on the bench. Maybe he's injured. But Cameron Dudley and also Scott Mason have been in great form. So I just think that's the reason why I'm edging it towards Rushden, just purely with the experience that they've got there. Adam Kinvig in goal, and also Alex Maitland will glue it hopefully all together for them at the back.
Excellent. Well, Tony, thank you very much. The game kicking off there between Corinthians and Rushden United, the Prime Plastering Hospital Cup final, getting underway at the ball at 7 o'clock tonight. And just a quick mention as well, the small matter of FC Isle of Man tomorrow. They'll be hoping to secure silverware in their final game of their first ever season when they face Camel Laird in the First Division Challenge Cup final at the ball tomorrow from 3 p.m. Well, the Ravens are going into Saturday afternoon's clash on the back of 8 consecutive victories in all competitions, but they're up against the Camel Laird side, who've enjoyed a stellar spell towards the end of the season. They've lost just one of their last 10 games, and it'll be the Wirral-based outfit's third cup final of the season. And if you can't make it down to that huge game at the Bowl tomorrow as well, we at Manx Radio have got you covered. The First Division Challenge Cup final, FC Isle of Man versus Camel Laird, kicking off at 3 p.m. this Saturday, and we will have full live match commentary for you on Manx Radio's AM 1368 and digital platforms. As ever, we'd love to have you along for one final time this season. Okay, moving on to TT. And TT fever is continuing to rise among competitors and fans with the 2022 races just over 1 week away. We at Manx Radio, over the past couple of weeks, have been catching up with riders, pundits and others ahead of the festival for the first time since 2019. This week, I spoke to Matthew Rostron and Wayne Lockie of the Real Racing sidecar team, who, after impressive separate performances in the sidecar class during the last races, are linking up together for the TT for the first time this time around. They gave me their thoughts on returning to Manx Shores and how they've kept going over the last couple of years.
Great. I mean, it's been a long 3 years and I can't wait to get going again. I've put the time in on track, so I'm all good to go.
And obviously, Matty, this is the TT isn't just something that you've got involved in competitively recently in recent years. It's something that runs in the family, doesn't it?
Of course, yeah. So basically, I've been to the TT every year since I was born, and I grew up watching my granddad, Brian Rostron, who did 27 TTs, and I always remember, like, 2003 was his last one, so I would have been about 8 or 9 in the grandstand. And when he crossed the line on his last race, I thought to myself, I've got to do this one day. But my mother tried to stop me, but I got my own way in the end.
Wayne, in terms of just looking at preparation, I guess, what have you been up to in terms of preparation and, of course, competitions over the past couple of months?
I mean, me and Matty, this is our first TT together, as you know, so we had to meets together in order to gel and get used to each other, and, you know, for him mainly to get used to how I rode a bike in a sense, and me to get used to him passengering. So that was, like, you know, that's been quite a major thing. I've got Ben Binns from the Isle of Man, as you know, coming over and doing the British Championship as well. So I've done a fair few miles. That's 5 meets this year we've done already, and that's, like, that's quite a lot. And it's quite a late race to have just before the TT that we had at the weekend. So the bike engine came out straight after the race on Racing had finished Sunday at Donington Park with FSRA. So the preparation in terms of getting the bike ready has just started. It mad as it sounds, it's you know, it's a mad rush now. Found a couple of little minor problems and stuff that you always have in, you know, preparing an outfit. So yeah, we're coping with it. It's good.
Over the last 2 years, motorsport, along with everything, has just been heavily disrupted because of the pandemic. So from your perspective, and I suppose just for the sidecar side in general, from those you might speak to, how has it been trying to get regular racing in or preparation in over the last 2 years?
Yeah, so basically, I've had 3 different drivers over the last 3 years. In 2020, I was all set to go with someone, and obviously COVID disrupted everything. And then Alan suffered with health issues, so he had to retire. And then last season, I rode with John Lowther, and we had a great season. Quite a lot of bike trouble, but again, John didn't think the TT would go ahead again, so John retired and sold his bike. So I ended up going with Wayne for this year, and we've done a few meetings together and we've gelled well, so I think we'll work well together.
Just 2 years older, really. It's it's really played a lot on everybody, hasn't it? You know, 2 years away from road racing is a long time. So I've heard there's a lot of new patches of tarmac and stuff like that in the Isle of Man. So, you know, there's a lot to learn for both of us together as a, you know, as a team racing a sidecar around TT. There's a lot of changes since 19. You know, that's the main thing that you've missed, really, is literally the time road racing. It's that's all I've ever wanted to do, is race on the roads. Yeah, a long time away, really.
Where does the TT rank for you in terms of highlights of the year?
It's the main race for me in terms of sidecars. Like, that's all I'm interested in, really, is doing the TT and the Southern Hundreds, because I do race a bike as well, but in the sidecar paddock, for me, it's just the TT.
It's my main thing. It's my main event. I started racing sidecars in order to get to the TT, to race the TT. The Southern's a brilliant meet as well. Yeah, that's my main thing. It's really, really, really nice, though, to be competing in the British Championship with Ben. It's like, yeah, you've got 2 sides to the coin, really, and they're both heads up. It's amazing.
This isn't exactly always straightforward to answer, but coming back into the TT after, you know, 3 years away from it, where do you kind of hope you'll both sort of be competing?
I mean, I've had, you know, myself, I've had loads of top 10s. I've had 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th. I've been really, really, really lucky in order to achieve a lot of them. I don't go to the TT thinking you're going to finish 5th or ninth or 12th or 15th or anything, first even. You know, I got no, you get what you're given, really. You both work hard in it, and it's really hard to get a finish, let alone predict where you're going to come. I just rode as hard as I can with what I've got, you know, and Matty will do the same. He's brilliant at it.
I'd like to do 110 mile an hour lap, I think that would be my aim. I'd be really pleased with that. But there's a lot of good riders out there. So in terms of actually finishing, a top 10 would be nice. But we'll just see how it goes. You know, we're not going to push too hard. So, yeah, I know Wayne, he won't do anything stupid. And that fills me with confidence.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Matthew Rostron and Wayne Lockie of the Real Racing team there. Finally, tonight we turn to volleyball, and Volleyball Isle of Man is set to host its first ever UK Invitational Tournament this weekend. The event will see three Manx teams take on two squads from the UK at the NSC tomorrow. The competition will be played out across both men's and women's teams in matches across Saturday. Volleyball Isle of Man's Natalie Wood and Cameron Bell spoke to Manx Radio about the event and how the sport continues to progress locally.
Since we last spoke, I believe that was about November time, we had our first annual awards evening, so that was quite exciting. So we had, I think, roughly maybe 15 awards we handed out to members of the club. We booked the Douglas Bay Yacht Club. Everyone came out and had a great night, so that was exciting. We also had the league. I don't know if Cam, if you wanna.
Yeah, so we obviously had our league running at the back end of last year. We've also started a spring league as well, which is just about to come to a close. We have one more fixture to play in that one. But yeah, everything's running really well. And we're hoping for the next league to add a fourth team, which is really exciting. So it's just showing that we are growing on Ireland as well.
Just on that point, the fact that the sport is evolving on Ireland, obviously a lot of hard work has gone into it over time. To see things just constantly coming together piece by piece, how does that make you feel?
It's amazing, to be honest. Like, from where we started, like being able to hardly facilitated training session with six people to now having like 40 plus members and being able to participate in these tournaments off island, hosting our own tournaments. It's super exciting.
Having too many people is, you know, it's a good problem to have, but hopefully now it's coming into the summer, we can, you know, have more outdoor sessions where we've got more space. But yeah, it's a lot of hard work, but it's definitely worth it.
Speaking of competition, let's look to the weekend now. It's a bit of a landmark moment, I guess, for Isle of Man volleyball. So for those who don't know, what have you got going on this weekend coming?
So this weekend we are hosting our first ever Invitational UK tournament. So we've reached out to teams across and invited them over to the island for a full day of volleyball. So on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the NSC, we'll be running two courts, a men's court and a women's court, and there'll be just matches going on all day.
And Cameron, in terms of the just having a look at the format of it and the teams involved, who else is taking part, and how many teams have the Isle of Man got there as well?
So the Isle of Man, we've got one women's team and two men's teams, and who we have coming over is we have the Warrington Wolves. We established a good relationship with them late last year, so they've put us in touch with another club, Garstang, who are also coming over to take part in the tournament.
And how important is that to build those connections whilst the sport has been obviously building and building on the Isle of Man, to be able to go across to different tournaments and meet new teams, to build that network of, as the likes of Warrington and Garstang will be coming over here? How important is that going forward to maybe invite other teams to come over to the Isle of Man in future?
I think it's really important. I think volleyball in the island is obviously growing, but I think that these clubs are trying to grow it in the UK as well, because you won't see Great Britain in the Olympics. So, you know, it's difficult for them as well, and it's a good community to be in. So hopefully we can spread out beyond, you know, the Northwest and make more and more connections as it goes on.
And obviously you've been able to practice and play over time as well, but the fact that when you've been able to play teams across, for example, in different tournaments at different times, how has that helped you yourselves build your own experience of the sort of teams that you're going to be coming up against now and in the future?
I think it's definitely taught us that we need to practice. The level in the UK is a bit higher just because I think there's more people there. I mean, for using the ladies team as an example, one thing we learned when we went over to play was just that the women's game is a lot different than the men's game, and we don't get to practice against ladies on the island just because there's purely not enough. So it was nice to get that experience. And I think the men just playing against, also they're playing against the ladies, so for them to be able to play against other men's teams as well is a really great experience.
Just looking ahead to the tournament, if there are those who are interested in coming down, seeing how you're doing as well. You've mentioned the times, 9 a.m. till around 5 p.m. Where's it going to be taking place, and where can people find out more details about it if they want to come down?
So it's going to be taking place at the NSC, the main sports hall. We've got the full thing booked out. There will be an area for spectators to come and sit and watch. We've also got some raffle prizes taking place on the day, so feel free to come down and enter. There's some great prizes to be won. Information you can find on our social media. So we've got Facebook and Instagram that we're posting on. We've been posting on, I think, for the past month every day, introducing the players, introducing the competition. So any information you can just find on there or send us a message.
Volleyball has been able to lift itself up and continue to expand over time. What's the Isle of Man like, do you think, just as a place for sports to grow in general?
I think it's a really good place because we have a wide range of people on Ireland from all over the world who might not have grown up playing your classic sports of your footballs and your rugbys, who might be playing volleyball. So a lot of our club are from, you know, all over the world who have grown up with volleyball, and it's great to have them involved in it because then it gets the local people involved in it. And hopefully, you know, looking down the line, we're hoping to do junior sessions, and everyone's really keen. We get contacted weekly by, you know, juniors to start this up, but hopefully we can just get the coaching qualifications and keep moving it forward.
I think the local community is also very supportive, just in the sense of, like, for example, the raffle we're hosting, all the prizes have been donated, some by members, and other prizes have been donated just by people who have heard of us on the radio, for example, or seen it on social media, and that every little bit helps because it's all going to fundraise towards the club and help us grow, like Cam said, to start hopefully these junior sessions and enable us to travel to more competitions in the future.
Yeah, we get our name out there as much as we can. We do a lot of stuff on social media. Mm. We try and keep it light, we try and keep it fun, look like we are this, you know, global team, but, you know, it's an easy way to interact with people, and you can see that it's definitely been supported on Ireland.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
Well, that's all we have time for this evening on Friday Sport Preview. Many thanks to my guests this week, Tony Meppen, Matthew Rostron, Wayne Lockie, Natalie Wood, and Cameron Bell. Well, whatever you're doing, have yourself a wonderful Friday evening, and as ever, have a wonderful weekend as well. So, until next time, bye for now. Manx Radio.